Hey, this is McDoug from themoneygoround.com. TGIF, it's Friday, June 1st, 2012. Hey, how are you doing today? Hopefully you're doing a lot better than the stock market. Guess what? This was the worst trading day since November 2011. And even worse is that the Dow Jones Industrial is now down about 0.8% for 2012. And you remember, it was just the first quarter where the index had posted a record point gain. How fast things have changed. It was really a bad day. We'll go over the numbers in a little bit. But what was the reason du jour? Well, there's a lot of things in the mix, right? But today was the jobs data. And the thing is that this was the most widely anticipated bad news from the jobs market that we can remember, right? We had estimates anywhere between about 133,000 to 150,000. I saw some even higher estimates today. But reading the news last night and reading around the web, everyone was just expecting a horrible number today. And yesterday in the Audioboo / podcast, I mentioned that, it would really have to be a bad number to the market to sell off. It was almost like, gee, is all the bad news priced in? Are we going to get some kind of number that's, you know, anywhere near the ballpark? And the folks who have wanted to sell the stocks, they're already out. Sell the rumor, buy the news, or, you know, vice versa, sell the news. In reverse, right, in a down market. So, maybe it was all priced in. But today, kind of the opposite, right? That's not what happened. Folks sold it hard. So let's take a look at the emotions in motion, the slope of hope. Take a look at oil prices. Oil is now below $84 a barrel, and it was down 8% this week. Natural gas just today dropped 4%. And remember, it had rebounded a little bit not so long ago. So down the road, this is going to result in lower prices that you and I pay at the pump when we fuel our cars. And really for energy, we get a lot of our electricity from natural gas. So, I don't know, maybe the utilities are a good buy here. Of course, they usually sign long-term contracts with energy, right? But anyways, think about it. And some of the trucking industry and maybe the automobile industry in the future is thinking about adding some natural gas vehicles. So, ultimately, lower oil prices will help. It's going to give us more money to spend at the movies, malls, and grocery stores, right? I mean, the lines of Cheesecake Factory and BJ's, they're going to go up when we have a little extra money in our pocket. You know, we might go see the Avengers twice. Not me, but, some people. So what's on the wall of worry? Well, did you see the jobs data? I mean, and just the global concerns about China. It looks like China's slowing down. India's slowing down, and then you got the European mess with Spain and Greece and et cetera. Let's just use the word et cetera because it looks like Greece is in trouble. And then the U.S. is in trouble, right? So Bill Gross came out and he said in a Bloomberg interview that investors should avoid Europe until credit starts flowing again from the private sector. Basically his point is that the government is not going to solve the crisis over there, right? So let's see, this is his quote from Bloomberg. We would suggest at PIMCO avoiding the entire Eurozone until they can come up with some type of solution which involves the private sector. What does the private sector mean? It means those institutions outside of Euroland. It does mean PIMCO. It means China. It means those private institutions that are willing to take a chance again in terms of credit. Until you bring them back to the solution, no solution is really going to be possible. So, that's from Bill Gross via a Bloomberg interview. So, lots of things on the wall of worry, and it continues to drive stock markets down. Let's take a look at the indexes. The Dow down 275 points, the S&P down 32 points, and yesterday I mentioned that the 200-day moving average was around 1284. Well, we're at 1278, so we're just a smidge below. So we're right in the vicinity, doesn't have to hit on the dime, but we're right in the vicinity of that 200-day moving average, which was just like a big gravity well sucking down the S&P 500. And we're there. I mean, we're just a little bit below, but we're close enough, right? I mean, if it's going to bounce, this would be a logical place, or it could slice through. You know, go take a look at a chart on that, and you see it doesn't always hold it, but it usually comes, it usually is around the vicinity where the market tries to make a stand. Although that could be said, that happened in the previous couple weeks, right, where the market hit around 1292. NASDAQ was down 79, almost 80 points, 2.8%, 2747. Oil was down $3.30, down almost 4% today. 10-year bond at a record low rates, 1.47. A lot of talk about how the bond market couldn't go any lower, and it's going lower. So let's think about this on a more macro level. Let's take a look back at the charts at 1982. That was really the start of the bond bull market, right? It might have been 1981. You get the idea. That time, 20 years ago plus, when they started the war on inflation. Inflation was bad at that time, and they raised rates, and they beat it back. And since then, rates have been coming down, 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 down. So is this the blow-off top in the bond market? Right? Because every bull market, and it's been a bull market in bonds for 20 years, every bull market usually ends with a blow-off top rally. It happened in stocks. It happened in real estate. And is it happening now in bonds that were making new lows in bond rates, new rally highs, for those who own mutual funds and stuff like that in bonds? It's rallying, right? Those things are rallying. Because if you hold older bonds at higher rates, they're worth more money. The exact opposite happens when rates go up. So, just food for thought. Are we having a blow-off top in the bond market? Hey, gold was up pretty big today, almost 4%, 1624 and 50 cents. And that's part. I got some more news here. So the Fed, the news, the big question that came after the markets closed today is, when is the Fed going to jump in? You know, the dollar was under pressure today. And I think a lot of that is because the folks are anticipating now the Fed's going to make some statement about the next quantitative easing, right? Because of the weak job numbers, you have to wonder when they're going to say something, because one of their missions is full employment. And my thought is that the Fed wants to avoid any action the closer we get to the election, right? So next meeting, I mean, you think if they're going to do anything, doesn't it make sense to do something at the next meeting, especially as the numbers have been deteriorating? We had a bad number today. They revised the previous numbers downward. You know, things aren't as hot as we thought, and they're not even in the zone the Fed would like to see them at. Quick check of Apple. Apple didn't have a good day today. It's down almost 3%, down $16.74. It's at $560.99. Kind of sold off towards the end of the day. Like I said yesterday, I think it's just waiting the next catalyst. And Apple is one of those stocks that after a news event, you got to wait, right? It's not like everything's happening every couple of days. It's just rumors until the next major news release. Facebook is now down 27% since going public. That's right, 27%. It's a bear market, but all by itself. I still wonder how they're going to make money. And just reading the daily news on Facebook, I don't know if they know how they're going to make money. No change in my allocation. I sat here in cash all day long. I ended up lifting weights and heading over to Chipotle for lunch. So I didn't even buy stocks. I thought about buying some Apple, but I don't know where the bottom is, and in the summertime you can guess and you can get bit. So I thought, why take a lot of small losses when I don't think we're going to see a low for a while? Or if we're at the lows, I still think there's time to have some sort of trading range and rallies and failures and just be in a trading range. And that could be an opportunity if it's well defined to make some money when it gets down towards the lows. But once it gets down towards those lows in September, October, that's the time where I'll probably be a little bit more aggressive. But right now, I could do it. I could trade at any time, but I haven't done so yet. Yum Brands, YUM, it was down 8% today. And they're blaming the manufacturing slowdown in China because about 50% of Yum profits come from China. What's Yum? Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Who doesn't like Taco Bell or Kentucky Fried Chicken? Anyway, it's kind of interesting that 50% of their profits come from China, right? They're also a big yielder, so I don't know what the impact is going to be on their profits from the Chinese slowdown. Maybe a lot, maybe not a lot. So that's a stock. It's on my radar. It's on my watch list. Groupon. More than 600 million shares of Groupon, representing 93% of shares outstanding, were to be released from restrictions on insider selling today. The stock was down 9%. So I want to talk about that. Really, think about Facebook, where there's a lot of shares that are tied up, 90 days from the IPO. There's gonna be some supply coming on the market, right? And just look at what happened in Groupon. Down 9% today. So, what will happen when the shares are released from lockup from Facebook? I didn't watch the aftermarket yet. It's still going on, right? Newsflash. You saw Michael Bloomberg's war on large sodas. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Limiting the cup size, really? Limit to 16 ounces when most restaurants offer free refills. You can drink as much soda as you want, right? So, you can also buy two sodas. Say you're getting them to go. Two 16-ounce sodas, three 16-ounce sodas. I mean, I don't know if this one's well thought out or if they're going to limit like one soda per customer, right? So you have to bring your family in there. You buy me a soda, you buy me a soda, and you buy me a soda. Of course, I don't know how that works if they want soda. Anyways, this is stupid. It's really a personal choice. We're not obese because of soda. It's because people drink too much soda. And this won't do much about that. You could still buy a six pack or bottles and take it home, right? Kind of silly. Hey, did you see DC Comics? They're relaunching the Green Lantern as a gay superhero. Really? I don't have much to comment on that, but really? This didn't make any sense to me. Controversial, and maybe that'll sell some comic books, although I doubt it. On this day in history, 4000 BC, approximate domestication of the horse in the Eurasian steppes near the Ukraine. Derekiv? Anyways, that's a hypothesis. Anyways, I saw that one leading off. Let's go in reverse order. 2009, General Motors files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That was the fourth largest U.S. bankruptcy in history. That was 3 years ago, folks. We call it Government Motors now, right? 2009, Air France Flight 447 crashes into the Atlantic Ocean. 228 dead. Yeah, that was 3 years ago, too. Time flies. 1990, the Dow Jones hits a record high. 2,997 one-hundredths. That's right, 2,2900. Or 2,900, right? That was in 1990. Look how much up it is from there. 1,000 points. Well, not quite. 1989. Robin Givens and Mike Tyson granted final divorce in New Jersey. Brooklyn. We don't call it New Jersey anymore, do we? Brooklyn. Anyways, that was 1989. Remember that, Robin Givens? Holy smokes. 1980, first transmission of CNN. CNN News. Remember when CNN was the news network to watch? Does anybody still watch CNN? Are they even on? Who knows? 1975, Ron Woods replaces Mick Taylor as the Rolling Stones guitarist. Ron Woods, man, that was a long time ago, right? 47 or 37 years. Another musical one, 1973, Paul McCartney's and the Wings release Live and Let Die, one of their better songs. 1971, Ed Sullivan's final TV show on CBS. 1970, Everything is Beautiful by Ray Stevens hits number one. Beautiful song. Everything is beautiful. I remember that. I was a little kid. Everyone was walking around singing that song. 1941. I wanted to note this one. Germany bans all Catholic publications. I want to list that one because a lot of folks, tie Hitler and Christianity together. Well, here you go. Germany bans all Catholic publications. There you go. Remember the facts. Don't let the people spinning things one way or another. Convince you, banning a Catholic publication cannot be seen as pro-Catholicism or pro-Christianity. because you know, they were saying, you know, all accusations about the Pope and Germany and the Nazis and blah blah blah. Well, 1941. Okay, let's go to the birthdays. 1979, Santana Moss, American football player. Yeah, Santana Moss. He's been around for a while, right? Alanis Morissette, 1974. Heidi Klum, 1973. She's 39. Hey, Ron Wood, we just talked about him. 1947. 1926, Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith Show, Matlock. Man, as a kid, I loved that Andy Griffith Show. Reruns, right? Reruns for me. Also, Marilyn Monroe, 1926. So, there you go. On a personal note, hey, I took today off, worked out, had lunch at Chipotle. I'm going to head out on a bike ride here, even though it's blistering hot out. But I want to talk about the market today because it's been a disaster. So, hey, I hope you're having a great one. And the music in the background is from PodSafe Music at musicalley.com. This is The Idiot Show with Rob Skain. See ya.
Yes is no. Stop is go. Up is down. Chase your tail around. It's an idiot show. An idiot show. In is out. Whisper is a shout. Dark is light.